Would you read that out loud with me? It's a season where what? The prophetic flows freely. The harvest is ripe. Prodigals return home. Vision is renewed. Dreams are fulfilled. Strength increases. Growth multiplies. Joy replaces every tear. Now, I hope to read those every week for 2026. If we happen to miss one, it's up there to where you can read it. But we need to keep the vision before us. We need to keep the word of the Lord before us. We need to expect the things that He has spoken is going to come to pass. Thus, the title for my message today is The Prodigals Are Coming Home. That ought to be good news to some of you today. The prodigals are coming home. It's a new season. It's a new day. That's one of my favorite songs right now that we're singing. And it is a new day. And I want to make a declaration to the Solid Rock Family Church and to those that may not attend this church, but you're watching online or you are a part of our church family because you are connected with us through the online viewing. But I want to make a declaration. This is not the season of loss. Amen. Listen closely. This is the season of return. Everybody say return. The prodigals are returning, not just for a visit, not just to watch online. The prodigal sons and daughters are coming home. We have prayed for them. We have cried for them. We have interceded for them. You have children. You have relatives and family members. You have friends that are prodigals, sons and daughters of God, and they are coming home as we continue to believe God, intercede for them, and call them back. We've wondered, are they too far gone? We've asked ourselves, is there really any hope of them coming back? I have good news for you today. I want you to say it with me. The prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home. Listen, distance never cancels sonship. You might want to write that down. Distance never cancels sonship. You see, when we read out of Luke chapter 15 in just a moment, it's not just a story of history or something that Jesus was giving us to refer back to as just a history lesson where one son left one family and one son came back. That is a lesson for us today that the prodigals are coming back. I believe with all my heart that it is a prophecy for this generation and for this church and for this year and for this day. Now, since I am a Pentecostal at heart, I like amens when I preach. Amen. If all I do is recite the alphabet, I want to hear an amen. Amen. A, B, C. I like it when you are engaged with me and I'm not just the only one doing the talking. Now, I don't want you talking back to me while I'm preaching in that sense, but I'll accept an amen or a come on or that's good or a whoa, that's awesome. You know, that's okay because I like to be encouraged too. I'm here this morning to encourage you. I am here to help you to conform to the image of God's dear Son through the teaching of the Word. And I want to be a blessing to you, and I want to encourage you today. But if you want to ever once in a while, it's okay to say amen in this Pentecostal church. We're not a bunch of Baptists. You don't see Baptists anywhere in this church. However, you don't see any of the others either. So, in Luke chapter 15, that's really a trilogy of three lost things. There's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and then there is a lost son. And this morning, I want to zero in on this lost son, and I want us to begin at chapter 11, and we're going to read all the way through verse 31. It's quite a lengthy passage, but we want to make sure that we don't leave anything out and we get the full context of what Jesus is saying. So follow along in your Bible, your device, read off the wall behind me. If you can see this one, you can read off of that one. But let's read this morning and let's glean from the word of the Lord. I don't want to come to church and preach a message and say, oh no, I left the Bible out. The Bible is the foundation for what we say and what we believe. Amen. And so we're going to read the scripture this morning. And we'll begin in verse number 11. When you found Luke 15 and 11, say amen. Amen. If you're still looking, say, help me, Jesus. You got it. All right, let's go. I don't want to read this so fast that we miss anything, so I'm going to take my time. Jesus continued. Oh, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property, what's those next two words? Between them. Notice he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country and squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. If I read that correctly, it sounds to me like he was hungry, so he went to the pig pen, but he didn't even get to eat the pig food. No one gave him anything. Now, it may be that he ate the pods or the husk or whatever it was. I'm not real sure. It's really not my point this morning. I'll get to that in just the morning. One of them said he would have glad. One translation says he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, but nobody gave him anything. When he came to his senses, verse 17. Everybody say he came to his senses. He finally got it together, right? How many knows our prodigal sons and daughters are going to come to their senses? Some of you have been praying for your son for 15, 20 years, and you haven't seen any change whatsoever. Listen, this is a word from God to you today. This is not just some cute little flowery sermon. This is a word for you today. Our sons and our daughters are coming home. How many knows he had to come to his senses? You know what made him come to his senses? Not his love for the Father. You know what made him come to his senses? Something was missing inside. Actually, it was a natural hunger that drew him back to the family. My prayer is, God, whatever it takes to get these kids back home. Whatever it takes. And you better mean that if you say that. Amen. So he came to his senses and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up. And he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and he threw his arm around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. How many knows he didn't get to finish what he had rehearsed that he was going to say to his father because the compassion of the Father overrode what he was going to say. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But the Father, everybody say, but the Father. The Father stopped him. The Father wouldn't allow him to say, I'm no more longer worthy to be called your. He stopped him. The Father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and let's celebrate. This son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. So they began to celebrate. I said earlier, I do pray that our church will celebrate the prodigals like the father did and not like the elder brother. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come home. Your father has killed the fatted calf because he is back safe and sound. The older brother became what? Angry. He refused to go in. What a baby. What a pouter. What a jealous brother he had. He became angry, and he refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered the father, look, all these years I've been slaving. I mean, he had an attitude, didn't he? He had an attitude. I've been slaving for you all these years, and I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you've never given me even a young goat. If I remember right, in the earlier part of the scripture, he had already given him half of everything. My, how we forget the blessings of the Father. My, how when we go through a little fit, how we forget the goodness that God, the goodness of God towards us. When we have a little battle that we're facing, is how quick we forget the hand of God upon our life. But when this son, you never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. He already had all the goats that he needed. He had all the cows he needed. He had all the money he needed. He had it all. But when this son of yours, notice he didn't even say my brother. When this son of yours, that was probably slang for cussing back in those days. This son of yours came home. He squandered your property with prostitutes. What do? You kill the fatted calf for him. And the loving father says, my son. Notice he still addresses him, my son. You are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and he's alive again. He was lost and he is found. Could I say it like this morning? There was a son that backslid. He got away from the father's house. Now there's a lot of modern day people today that say, well, we just don't believe in backsliding. Well, maybe you want to read your Bible because the word backslide is used 17 times in the Bible, not counting all the other references to backslidden or backsliding. Come on, church. This son slipped. He got away from the father's house. He moved away from his father's house. And so when we say the prodigal son, we're talking about one that slips away or slides away or don't recognize the seriousness of the decisions they're making to separate themselves from what they've been trained and taught in their younger days. So this lesson focuses on those that have heard the gospel, they've received the gospel, but for some reason they've walked away or strayed away from the presence of the Lord, just like this son did in Luke chapter 15. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. The Bible is full of those that have slipped away, backslidden. In fact, the book of Jeremiah, Hosea, Isaiah, and Proverbs is full of backsliders that have turned away from God. So we need to be careful when we say, well, I just don't believe in backsliding. Because I want to tell you something. Anybody can turn and walk away. God didn't tie a rope around you and make you stay married to him. We can walk out of that relationship anytime we want to. We can deny God. We can deny the lordship of Jesus. We can deny cross, burial, and resurrection. We can deny all that if you want to. In fact, Jeremiah 3:22 says, return, you backsliding Christians. Hello? You think we might be able to turn our backs upon the Father and his goodness? Proverbs 14, 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own way. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that just messes up some Friday evening. I'm not talking about somebody that just maybe lost your temper and a few words came out and you know you shouldn't have, because how many knows when we sin, we immediately get convicted. And we don't wait till Sunday morning to come to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me, I have sinned. I don't know about you, but when I miss the mark, I can't wait to confess and know that my Father is willing and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You say, Pastor, you've been at this church for 50 years and you still sin? You nailed it. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. And you know what? I could probably ask your spouse too, and they'd say about the same thing. We all miss it from time to time. But you know what we do? As soon as we miss it, we get it right. But see, this boy never got it right. He walked away and got further and further and further away. He got away from the teachings of Judaism. He got away from the instruction of his father and his mother. Are you listening to me? So this is not about somebody that just messes up occasionally. It's a person who's turned away inwardly. They've turned their hearts away. They've turned their values away. They're no longer loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though they know they should be doing right, and they are not, and they just keep walking further and further away. I'm sure you know somebody just like that. Am I in the right church today? You're awful quiet. Hebrews 2 and 1. Listen to this. So we must listen very carefully to the truth. Are you listening today? We must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. If you're not staying in the word of the Lord, if you don't listen to the preacher, if you're not listening to the word of the Lord, you will drift away from it. The easiest thing to do is pull the oars inside the boat and just float down the stream. Come on, church. Come on. Here's the point. I'm going to give you about 4 points today, but this is not the first one. This is a zero one. No, this is point number one. The prodigal may leave the house, but never leaves the father's heart. Ooh, that's good. Can you all read that? Can you read it out loud? Let me hear it, top of your lungs. Read it out loud.
The prodigal may leave the house, but he never leaves the father's heart.
Isn't that good news? You're going to be my crier, brother Boomer. You're going to be the crier from now on when we need somebody to read or cry. Now, the Bible says that the son asks for his inheritance. Give me everything that's mine. And that loving father, knowing what was going to happen, gave it to him anyway. And so he packs his bags and he leaves. But listen, he didn't leave because the father was cruel. He didn't leave because he was a slave driver, regardless of what that other son said. He left because he wanted control. Are you listening? Can you read between the lines, or do I need to elementarize it a little bit more? He left because he didn't want to come under the control, or can I say it like this, the lordship of Jesus. Many prodigals don't leave because they hate God. They just don't want responsibility. They want freedom. Oh, I want my freedom. How many's heard that before? I want to do my own thing. Pardon me, I'm going to have to shed my coat. It's just a little warm up here. Whew. How many's heard this? Well, I need space. I need my space. I need to find me. I'm telling you some of the things that the prodigal's sons and daughters said. Some of you have said the same thing, Gary Doss. I don't need to go to church on Sunday. I've got my boat. And me and my boat can have church out on the lake. Was that said? I'm telling on you, aren't I? need to find myself. I need to get alone with God, so I'm just going to quit church and go out into the woods and wrap my arms around a tree and pick up a rock and hum to the rock and see if I can find God. How about this? Oh, I'll come back when I'm ready. You ever heard that one? I'll come back when I'm good and ready. How many knows it don't work that way? Do you know that you can't come back unless the Spirit of God draws you? No man cometh to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws him. And so it's not these silly excuses like, I don't want anybody telling me what to do. I don't need a teacher. I've got the Holy Spirit living in me. I don't need to go to church. I can have church on my boat, in the woods, in my living room, in my front yard, in my camper. Come on, church. I just need to live my own truth. If you've got a prodigal son or daughter, you've heard some of these excuses. Just need to find myself. Rules are suffocating. You've heard that one? Rules are suffocating. Oh, here's one. Well, God understands. God knows me. God knows my heart. God understands. And God wants me to be happy. Well, here's another one. And this is not true. I'm not hurting anyone but myself. I want to tell you, mamas and daddies, something. When you have a son or a daughter that's strayed away and have been gone for years and years and years, they're hurting more than just themselves. It hurts the mama's heart. It hurts the daddy's heart. It hurts the grandparents' heart. It hurts us. It hurts the pastor's heart. When one of your children decide, I'm not coming back to church. I've been to university. I've got an education. My teacher showed me something that pastor couldn't show me. I didn't learn this in church. I learned this from my atheist instructor at the university. I'm not coming. Do you know that hurts a pastor's heart? It hurts a youth pastor's heart. It hurts moms and dads and brothers. It hurts the family when we hear that kind of stuff. Oh, I still believe, just not like that. Who said that? Alice? Yeah. Here's one that I had to use one time. It was, I just need to see what's out there. I've been in church all my life. I was born in church. And that's all I know. I need to go out and see what else there is to do. In other words, we've got to sow some wild oats. Because I've been Mr. Goody Two-Shoes in my whole 15 years that I was in church. Here's one that's really sad. I'm young. I have lots of time. I want the Father's gifts, not His guidance. I want the inheritance, not His instructions. I want independence, not intimacy. Are y'all getting the picture? I could go on and on, but I'll go on. The prodigal didn't reject the Father's love. He rejected the Father's authority. This is something worth noticing. Do you notice the Father never chased him? I don't ever read where he left the front porch except when he saw the Son coming. It doesn't say Daddy went out into the world to find him and to, you know, to corral, put a rope around him and bring him back. He let him have his will. He let him do his thing. But you know what? The Father never, never stopped watching him. Do you know what? God's not in heaven pacing the gold streets, twiddling his thumbs, hoping that the prodigals come home. I'm going to say it again, church. The prodigals are coming home. I hope every one of my children are watching this or listening to this today, because I'm declaring with my mouth, because I believe it in my heart, the prodigal sons and daughters are coming home. Now, I don't mean moving back to Farmington. God forbid. I don't want them living with me. We've been empty nesters now for several years. Now, if they don't have a place to stay, they can come for maybe a day or two, right? No, when I say the prodigals are coming home, they're coming back to the Father's house. They're coming back in the right relationship with the Lord. They're getting it right with God. I know some of you think your children are too far gone, but God says they're not out of my sight. I'm still watching for them. Amen. You see, the father never stopped watching for his son to come back home. Okay, point number two, if you're taking notes. Point number two, the turning point always comes when the prodigal comes to themselves. Remember I said he came to his senses. One translation says, when he came to himself. You know what that means? When he hit rock bottom. I just want to suggest to you this morning, it's all right to pray for your kids, but listen, sometimes they need to hit rock bottom before they come to their senses. How many knows the pig pen became a pulpit? Woo, that was good. The pig pen became the pulpit. We're praying, oh God, keep your hand upon my kids. God, don't let anything bad happen to them. Lord, protect them, protect them, protect them. I'm going to tell you something. They've already moved out from under the protective hand of God, and they're out here at the mercy of whatever. Sometimes we need to pray this. God, whatever it takes to get the attention of my son and daughter, whatever it takes, Lord, bring them home. And it might be at the bottom of the barrel. It might be in the pig pen. Come on, church, somebody help me preach today. How many knows your pain has a purpose? He was hungry. He was in pain. Rock bottom has a voice. Amen. Rock bottom has a voice. And we're praying for our kids, you know, oh, Lord, 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 just keep your hand upon them. So, you know, and I don't want him to take his hand off, so to speak, but I want them, whatever it's going to take to get them to come back to the Lord. Are y'all in agreement with that this morning? Is that all right? Whatever it takes, Lord, get the attention. You know, and Carissa and some of us have been praying, and I hope Abby and Austin's watching this today. But, you know, we're praying, Lord, whatever, and Luke's praying, whatever it takes, Lord, get their attention, Lord, whatever it takes. If they have to hit rock bottom, at least before they die, they'll get things right with God. Am I okay? Is it okay? Because we need to pray those kind of prayers. Oh, God, don't let them suffer. We ought to say, God, don't let them be comfortable. When people lose their job and they lose their cars and they look like they're going to lose their house and the electric gets turned off and everything, how many know sometimes they'll listen? Oh, God, just keep your hand upon them. Just protect them, oh, Lord. I think God wants the prodigals to feel the hunger pains. Is this okay today? I think it's okay. It's okay. I don't want you to punish him, but maybe you can shake him and wake him up a little bit. This is good stuff, Pastor. God's not done with your children. God's not done with your loved ones. God's not done with your nieces and nephews. God's not done with your grandchildren. Amen. I think he's just positioning them. I mean, it was that prodigal son finally got positioned in the place where he realized he came to himself, he came to his senses and said, you know what? Even the servants at my dad's house has food to eat. They've got more than I've got as a servant. Everybody shout amen. Amen. So that rock bottom becomes a turning point. He came to himself. Amen. The pain didn't destroy him. It awakened him. God didn't cause the famine, but how many knows he used the famine? Are you with me? Verse 20 of Luke 15 again. This is from the NIV. Luke 15, 20. When he got up, he went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son. You know what I heard recently? I heard that in those days, fathers didn't run like that. It's not a culture thing for a father to run. And this guy broke the cultural law to go and get and meet his son. I'm glad you liked that one. Say it with me. The prodigals are coming home. I want you all to say it like you really believe your sons, daughters, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews are coming home. The prodigals are coming home. Sometimes commentaries will make it look like the father was very passive, that he didn't do anything, that he was just in a rocking chair on the front porch just waiting for his son to come back, and that he's not going out of his way to do anything, just watching. And but I want to tell you something. That father, because I think we kind of understand the heart of our Father God. I believe that before the boy saw him, he saw the boy. I think in his heart, he was seeing that boy come back. And I want to tell you something. This guy was praying and interceding for his son's return. He wasn't just passively having a cup of coffee on the front porch and just waiting. I believe he was fighting hell to get his son back. Some of you parents need to fight hell and intercede for your children to get their eyes opened and come home. This man persevered. He plowed through hell to get his son back home. Jeremiah 31, Blake. This is from the Amplified Bible, 16 and 17. Thus says the Lord, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and your children shall return from the enemy's land. There is hope for your future, says the Lord. Your children shall come back to their own country. Somebody give him a praise. Give him a shout of praise. Your sons and daughters will come home. That's a prophetic word from an Old Testament prophet. The word prodigal dates back to the 1500s, and sometimes we think we know what the prodigal. Do you know this is really, this story is not about. Do you know the word prodigal is not even in the Bible? He's not it's not about the prodigal son. It's about the loving heavenly father that welcomed the prodigal home. But the word prodigal simply means a squanderer, one who wastes their money and their life on things that don't matter. Wastefully. And maybe you have a son or a daughter, a brother or sister, a husband and wife, father or mother, that's a prodigal. And you can see how they're squandering their life. They're not getting any younger. But we can persevere. We can pray. We can pursue. Somebody shout amen. You know, the prodigals have a little bit of an advantage that those that have never known the Lord does. And think about this. At least the prodigal has had an experience in the Father's house, right? At least the prodigals knows what it's like to live in the Father's house. Some people that have never given their lives to Jesus, man, they don't know what they're missing. But when a prodigal will come to his sense, he will realize, man, I am missing it. I am missing it. You see, here's another advantage that the prodigal sons and daughters and children have. They know about the church. They know about the people. They know about God and what God expects of them. And they have a great advantage over somebody that's never experienced the Lord before. Now listen to this. It may just be a little line in a song that they sang in Sunday school when they were 6, 7, 8 years old. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah. Put it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Y'all know that song? What's the next verse? This little light of mine, okay. Well, anyway, you know, they may be in the middle of doing the worst sin they've ever done, and all of a sudden, a line from a song that they sing, Father Abraham had many sons. We got some old-timers here, don't we? Woo! How many's ever heard, never heard the song Father Abraham? Well, Boomer, I knew you wouldn't. You're a West Coast guy. You wouldn't know that. But listen, do you know, Trent, it could be just one of those songs that you and I heard when we were growing up in Sunday school that'll come back and we'll begin. Have you ever sang a song? It just came up out of nowhere and you think, where in the world did those words come from? I haven't sang that song in years. And all of a sudden the words are coming back. That's what's going to happen to our prodigal sons and our daughters and our loved ones, because it may just be a memory. It may, you know, it could just be maybe they heard Pastor Rhodes say something in the last 50 years and it just comes back alive to them. Maybe it's just one line, one sentence, but they remember Pastor said something, or that Sunday school teacher, Rhonda, said something, or that youth pastor, Dwayne, said something. And all of a sudden, it's like an amplifier just going off in my mind. I hear that song. I hear that scripture. I hear that sermon. Ooh, this is good stuff. It'll come back and it will remind them. I thank God for the constant reminders that God's given us. One of the things that we need to be reminded of is that the Father never gives up on us. Is this okay? Even if you said no, I'm going to keep preaching. I don't even know why I ask, because I'm going to keep preaching anyway. Is this okay? You see, the prodigal knows they should be back in church, way down deep inside. You know what, Luke? I know that Austin knows he needs to be in church. I know that Abby knows what she's doing is not a lifestyle that's conducive to a believer. They know that. I remember Heather and Abby. We went to Dallas, Texas, and those two little girls, I don't know how old they were at the time, but they got in front of a group of 1,000 people on a stage, and they sang that song, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Something about the atmosphere, you know. They just sang that song in front of all those people. They were so bold, huh? Yes, I believe the words of that song are going to come back and haunt them, haunt them, haunt them. Yeah, I mean, it was just down inside of them. Yeah, okay. They've tasted and they've known the goodness of the Lord. They've known the power of the name of Jesus. They've experienced the presence of God. One man backslid for 7 years. He returned to the church and he just looked around the church and he looked for a familiar face and he noticed an elderly lady sitting over on the side by herself, and he walked up to her and he said, I remember her name. Her name is Sue. He said, Sister Sue, do you remember me? She said, you better believe I remember you. She said, you backslid 7 years ago, and there hasn't been a day that's passed that I haven't called your name out in prayer. Somebody's praying for our kids. Somebody's praying for those prodigal sons and daughters. Point number three. The prodigal returns expecting rejection, but he got restoration. He returns expecting, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He expected rejection, but he immediately got full and complete restoration. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the Father didn't let him finish it. Can I tell you something? Grace breaks protocol. Let me say it like this. Grace talks faster than guilt. Is that good? Grace talks faster than guilt. God, I'm not worthy. But, oh, hush up, son. Give me the calf. Give me the ring. Bring me the robe. We're going to restore to you. You know, when they said bring the robe, that was identity being restored. When they said bring the ring, that was authority being restored. When they said bring the shoes, that was sonship being restored. God doesn't restore prodigals to servants. And when the prodigals start coming back home, we need not look down our nose at them and say, well, I don't know if God's got anything for you or not. Yes, he does. We can't look down our nose and say, well, you finally saw the light, huh? No. We restore them. And notice how quickly this father restored his son. He didn't make him pay dues or he didn't make him to have to go through no guilt, no shame. Church, we're going to have to be like that, or the prodigals will never return. They'll come in, but if they're not greeted by a loving group of people that says, we're so glad to see you, welcome home.
I said a couple of weeks ago, and Darlene said it just recently, there was a young man that came to church here, hasn't been here for 15 years, and when he came through the doors, man, it was like, it was so refreshing to us. In fact, he looked a little shady, because Uncle Gary came up to me and he said, "You see that guy sitting back there in the sock hat or the hoodie or whatever it was?" He said, "Do you know him?" I like what Tyler said this morning. That church in Minneapolis didn't have the security we have, because there ain't nobody going to get past the front door at Solid Rock to come in and protest. But we saw Colin sitting there. He was raised in this church from a little 5-6 year old. He was 28 years old. Hadn't seen him in years. Moved to Colorado. But listen. The people gathered around him. Carla, Carissa, Stephanie, Sarah. Man, they found out that Colin was here. It just brought tears to their eyes. They said, "The prodigals are returning." You know what? If Colin never comes back to this church because he's of his job, which he travels all over the United States as a federal firefighter, but he may never come back. But I want to tell you something. He'll never forget that Wednesday night experience. You know what he told me? He said, "I didn't even think you would remember who I was." We're not going to forget the prodigals. And when they come through the door, we're not going to chew them out for being gone so long, or what they did with their money, or what they did with the inheritance. Man, this is good. This is good. God doesn't restore prodigals to servants. He restores them to sonship. Point number 4. The real danger is not the prodigal. It's the older brother. Did you hear me? The real problem is not the prodigal. Oh, we just got all this problem children coming back. This problem child's coming back. No, the problem was the older brother that had a horrible, horrible attitude. Like some brothers and sisters in the church. They don't have a right to come back to this church. They did us wrong. Darlene and I have such forgiving hearts, don't we, babe? And I'll just toot my own horn because nobody else will toot it. I'll be my own tutor this morning. We don't have a problem letting go and forgiving. We really don't. There's people that's walked away offended. There's people walked away from this church calling me every name in the book, cussing me up and down. And you know what? If they come back with a repentant heart, my arms are open as though you never left. God will not allow prodigals to come back where the older brother is ruining what God's trying to set up. Everybody say, "I will not be the older brother." You see, here's a good point. The older brother stayed, but his heart was far from the Father. He might have stayed in the church, but his heart was far from what God was wanting to do in the church or in the family. Close to the Father, but far from his heart. How about this? He was faithful, but resentful. He was obedient, but he was bitter. So, my question to you now is, what are we going to do when they come back? How are we going to act? Are we going to look at them with squinted eyes? Are we going to look at them with questions? I wonder if they really mean it this time. Come on, church. How are we going to welcome the prodigals back? Are we going to be like the Heavenly Father, or are we going to be like the older brother? Oh, it's easy to say, but wait until your enemy walks through the door. How are you going to treat those that have not been good to you? Talked about you, slandered your name, slandered this ministry. I want to tell you something. There's some people, if they had their way, I wouldn't be pastoring here today. And if we'd have listened to some of those, we'd have left a long time ago. Because there was some that just prophesied us right out of this church. If I'd have listened to one prophetess, I wouldn't have married Darlene. Because on the day that we got married, she came knocking on my front door and said, Pastor, the Lord says, don't marry that lady from Salem. She's not good for you. There's a lot of goonies out there, isn't there? There's a lot of goofy charismatics out there. Am I right? Did they say, is that what they said?
We got one phone call from a lady that said, she's not supposed to be a part of this church. She's not the one that ought to, you and her shouldn't be the pastor anymore. You know what they said? And they may be listening, and that's okay because I have nothing in my heart. But they said, the one that left me should be the pastor, not me. Can you imagine? Yeah, that's what was said. Should I tell the rest of the story? No, I won't. Because I asked the Lord to put a filter on my mouth before I preach this morning. So, but it would be so easy. Gabe, it would be so easy just to go there. I think I will. No. God is asking us the question this morning. This is a word from the Lord for us today. Will we celebrate the prodigals? I'm thinking of two or three right now that I really want to see come back. And I believe God's going to deal with their heart. Will we be a house of celebration or a house of comparison? I better get the worship team up here and make you think I'm about to close. I think we should not only open the doors of the church, we should open our arms when they start coming back. And don't be standoffish. Somebody says, well, they're going to have to earn my trust. Listen, if God has dealt with their heart and they want to get things right, who are we to stand in the way? Huh? I believe they're coming back. And I know there's people in the church that just don't trust some of the people that have done us wrong. But we're going to have to get the attitude of the Father and drop the attitude of the older brother. What are they doing here? Why, when they left, they left cursing us and cursing the leadership and shooting down the vision. They left and talked about everybody. What are they doing back here? Well, it just could be that the Lord delivered them from the pig pen. It could be. Now, we'll know real quick whether they come back to stir up trouble or if they come back to get it right. But until we know, we're going to treat them like the Heavenly Father would. Amen. So I want to say it like this. Let's be a prodigal friendly church. I just made that up. I think that's pretty good, don't you? Let's be a prodigal friendly church. Let's stand to our feet this morning. I'm not done, but I just want you to stretch a little bit. We need to be sensitive to the vulnerability of those that are coming back. Because they're going to wonder, how are they going to receive me? I remember what I said when I left. Jake, I'm glad you came back. You were a prodigal son. When you came back, you don't know what that did to our hearts. You blessed us. And you went through some things. I know you did. You went through a lot of things. But you came to your senses. I don't know if you had to go to the pig pen or not, but you came back. And I hope that you felt the warmth and the love from this congregation to welcome you back. There's others that are coming back. I said there's others that are coming back. Let's be a prodigal, friendly church. If God's sending them back, we better open our arms and welcome them just like He would if He were here, right? Amen. It was at the lowest possible point in a pig pen. We need to be sensitive to what these people that are coming back have gone through. You know what? Sometimes people will lose a child and they'll realize, you know what? I need to get back to where I used to be with God. They may lose their job and they're at the bottom again. And they say, you know what? It wasn't this bad when I was in church. I'm going to get back right with God. Do you know God gets blamed for a lot of things, doesn't He? If a baby dies, God gets the blame, right? If there's a car wreck, God gets the blame. If somebody's got cancer, God gets the blame. Jeff, I just looked over at you, and man, my heart just... I don't know you that well, Jeff, but I know a little bit about you. You shared with me your history, and I want to tell you something. I'm so glad you're at Solid Rock. I hope from the first day you and... who? Cindy? No, Trudy. Trudy, Jeff and Trudy. They were saying Cindy, and I was trying to think, that don't sound right. Trudy. You thought I was talking about you guys. Okay. Jeff? when you guys came, I hope that we welcomed you and received you, and evidently you felt safe enough with me to tell me a little bit about your life. I'm so glad you're getting it together. I'm so glad that you're in Solid Rock. I want you guys to surround this couple. You need to love this couple. These guys, first of all, I really respect them for driving 1 hour to church every time the doors are open. It takes them as long to get here. Listen, it takes them as long to get here on a Wednesday night as long as the service is. They don't say, well, it's only a 1 hour service, I'm not going to go. They'll drive 2 hours for a 1 hour service. I believe it was it last, no, we didn't have church last Sunday. Maybe it was a couple weeks ago or Wednesday night, something. But I really felt like the Lord was really speaking to you guys and pulling you in. I don't care what's happened in the past. Everything's under the blood of Jesus. It's a new day. It's a new day. And I know you were very, you went through a period of possibly being very mad and upset, but you've done good. Considering what you've been through, you've done good, Jeff. We love you guys. We love you guys, Trudy. There's some more Trudys out there that needs to come back to church. There's some more Jeffs and this Jeff that need to come back. God's going to send them. Forgive even when there isn't evidence of change. We need to be like the Heavenly Father and love unconditionally. Amen. Let me tell you a little story here. Ernest Hemingway wrote a short story. It was the story was set in Spain, in which a father and son fell out to such an extent that the son ran away to Madrid. The father said he didn't want anything else to do with his son. Years later, the father realized he had been too harsh and wanted to make things right. So he put an ad in the Madrid paper, newspaper. Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon on Thursday. All is forgiven, Papa. But you see, Paco is a very common name in Spain. And when the father turned up at the hotel, he had to force his way through a crowd, all young men named Paco, longing to be reconciled with their father. Think about it. Someone said, when our prodigals come home, pray that they meet the father first and not the elder brother. Sons and daughters are coming home. And I'm going to say in the same sentence that marriages are being restored. Marriages are being restored. I believe faith is being rekindled. According to your testimony this morning, faith is being rekindled. I really believe, Gary, that already some of the prodigals are packing their bags. They've already got that limb over their shoulder with the bag of clothes behind it, and they're already on the road walking home. I believe some of the prodigals are much closer than you can even think. Don't give up. Don't give up. I pray that some of them are lifting up their eyes from the pig pen and realizing, man, I left. I had it good before I left. Amen. I'm going to read one last scripture and then we're going to pray. Isaiah 43, Blake. Isaiah 43. We're going to read verses 2 through 7. I've asked the worship team to sing that song that's got the verse in it. The prodigals are coming home. The prodigals are coming home. Listen to this from the Message Bible. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you. So don't be afraid. I am with you. Now listen to this. I'll round up all your scattered children, pull them in from the east and the west. I'll send orders north and south. Send them back. Return my sons from distant lands, my daughters from faraway places. I want them back, every last one who hears my name, every man, woman, and child whom I created for my glory. Yes, personally formed and made each one. I want them back. Father, thank you this morning for this powerful word and the promise and the assurance, the reminder that I once was lost, but now I'm found. My daughters, my son, our grandchildren that had an experience with you, our grandchildren that went to Steelville, to the campground, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues and praising God, and maybe even answering a call to ministry, has now turned their back on you and even possibly denying you. But God, we release them. Whatever it takes to bring them to their senses. You need to pray for your sons right now. Some of you need to call their name out right now. Call out their names. Call out your daughter's name. Call out your grandchildren. I thank you, Lord, that Manny, his eyes are being opened, and he's finding his way to the Father's house, not as a servant, but as a child of God. God, we pray for all of the families that are represented today who have children, grandchildren, aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews that have strayed. God, we release the conviction of the Holy Spirit to draw them back to the Father's house. In the name of Jesus. If you're believing for prodigals to return, just lift your hands right now and begin to praise God. Come on, just lift your hands up. Declare. Just make this a moment of declaration. We're calling them back. We're calling them back. We're calling them back. We're calling them back. Yes, home is closer than you think. When the Father's in the room. Come on, we're going back to the Father's house. Come on. Did come to life. This is the season of the return. Love is on the move. Yes. When the Father's they're coming home. Miracles take place. What was lost is coming home. Miracle 5 feet. Can you see them? Love is breaking through. They may be coming back when in rags. They may be coming back 20 pounds lighter. But they're coming back. They're coming back, church. I declare the prodigals are returning. Woo, come on, come on, yes. Yes, what was broken is being restored. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What was lost is being found. What was blinded, oh, their eyes are being opened. Hallelujah. The prodigal.